changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.
Yesterday, I had the opportunity to just do something that was just absolutely joyous for me. When I was in ministerial school from 2000 to 2002, no, 2001 to 2003, you get in there and there are a lot of people your age. It's middle-age people that tend to go into the ministry in Unity, and they tend to have already had Teddy's in the background. He's on camera. Hey, buddy, you comfy? Good. Well, maybe we'll just put your basket back there. I think that's a good idea. Anyway, it's a lot of middle-aged people who have already had careers of one kind, and now they feel called or designed or whatever to go back to become ministers. And so it's a very unsettling, frightening time. And what occurred to me is it's a whole bunch of people starting back over on day one in their lives. There was no one in my class who was super duper successful at something they had done to the point where they were not ready for starting over. Many of them had had traumatic experiences in their life. I had decided I didn't want to continue selling advertising anymore. And so these were people all starting over on day one. And I met this guy named John McLean. Not that John McLean. When you say John McLean, everybody thinks of the actor, the character in Die Hard. No, this is a real John McLean. And John just had such a funny, sweet, self-deprecating way about him. And we ended up sitting next to each other. And what we discovered very early on was that we could make ourselves laugh at the drop of a hat. We would think of things to try and make ourselves laugh. And I'm going to share with you something he said. I won't share with you something he said yesterday because it's a little bit bawdier than this. But I asked him one day we were sitting in class. I said, so are you in a relationship? John's gay. And he says, no, at this point in my life, I'm bisexual. And I said, okay. And he goes, yeah, I think if I want sex, I'm pretty much going to have to buy it. Of course, I'm losing it. And this is not exactly the kind of humor you would expect to be told in a seminary. So John reached out to me yesterday because he's retired now and he decided to take a car trip around the country and see a lot of our classmates and spend some time with his sister, et cetera. And he sent me a message saying he was in Key Largo, and I have not seen him in decades, hardly spoken to him. And we got together and it was like we had just seen each other. I mean, we were exploding in laughter in the parking lot when I went down to get him. And as we began to talk, we updated each other on some of our classmates. He had kept up with some, I had kept up with others. And it was interesting to fill in those gaps. What I realized was that as he was telling me about people, like one particular woman, someone we both knew really, really well, a very, very good friend of ours, who I have not stayed up with, in my mind, her life froze in time when I last saw her. Does that make sense to you? I thought she was still with the same woman she was with back then. She was married to. I thought she was still living in the same area. I thought she was still doing the same things. And her life was on such a great upward trajectory when I last saw her and figured that was the way it was going to go. And that's not the way life goes. Life has bumps and twists and turns and pain and problems. And we often find ourselves just like these middle-aged people going back to ministerial school, starting over at square one, starting over at square one. In our culture, we have this problem with that. We consider it losing face, or we consider it there's something wrong with us. Nowadays, not nearly as much as it used to be. For somebody, you know, like so many of the people around me down here, you get on a dive boat, you know, and this guy's a captain of a dive boat, and you've talked to him for 5 minutes and found out he was an accountant for 25 years and hated it. And now he's just decided to pick up and start over on square one at a fraction of the income and be a dive boat captain. Not so unusual, but could you imagine something like that for our parents to have just, I'm going to quit and follow my bliss. What are you, crazy? What are you, out of your mind? Nowadays, we find ourselves having to start over on square one a lot more than our parents ever did. After World War II came back and there was such a demand, do you think there's a demand for employment now? After World War II, people came back and there was such a demand for labor. People would get jobs and the employers promised them lifetime employee employment plus pension. And that's just the way it is. Nowadays, something can change. Somebody can create one little thing in a basement somewhere and upset an entire industry and people are out of jobs. Starting on square one is not a bad thing. In fact, I think sometimes it's a good idea to go back and start on square one. One of the things that is impressing me about Bruce Lee as I'm reading his biography, I'll give you a sec. Let's all take a sip of coffee. One of the things I teach people who want to be professional speakers is always have a bottle of water on the stage. Not because you're going to get thirsty, but because you're going to forget where you're going. And it gives you a chance to go over, have a sip. Everybody forgives that. That was not the reason I was doing that, by the way. But the interesting thing about Bruce Lee is that that dude did nothing but start over. Nothing but start over. He was a childhood actor who got to be too big to be in movies like Macaulay Culkin. Think about that. When that happens, you're so famous as a childhood actor. He starts over and then he wants to open martial arts schools and that doesn't go well. The most interesting thing about him to me is that he started out in one particular type of martial art, Kung Fu, I think it was. But he immediately saw that it wasn't everything. It wasn't the be-all and end-all. It was incomplete. Yeah, that's where I'm going with this. It was incomplete. And so he studied and started over at square one in a completely different martial arts discipline, one in which his skills did not even translate over. And the original fighting that he learned, the type of fighting, you never kicked above someone's knee. Think about Bruce Lee, and we think about these flying, spinning hook kicks. That was learned like four or five different martial arts later. And the book really is about his pursuit for the ultimate martial art, the ultimate perfect one. And what he finally comes up with is, honestly, spoiler alert, there is no perfect one. He creates his own, which he says is the very best. And yet at the same time, he says, because everybody's body is different, everybody's situation is different, then nothing is universal. So start over on square one, start over in square one, start over in square one. He was trying. Did you know, this is another thing I find very fascinating if you don't know a lot about Bruce Lee. But, of course, he was in The Green Hornet, which only lasted one season for a number of reasons. It was not a good TV show. I watched it. But when he went over to Hong Kong, he didn't know. He got off the plane and he was swarmed by people because they had renamed the show in Hong Kong The Kato Show. And everybody called it The Kato Show. So he was famous. He was the first Asian actor to really become famous like that on multiple continents around the world. Why? Because he kept starting over on day one. One of the things that I've had to learn over the years is that in what I do, which is speaking, writing books, and creating online content, the purveyance of those things is constantly changing. In other words, there are new software programs, things become obsolete, websites change, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we have had to start over at square one so many times that when this concept yesterday of starting over at square one came up, I thought, wow, this is actually a very universal thing. It's a very universal thing. And I guess I'd like to dedicate this. I don't think I've ever done this before, but I'm going to dedicate this jumpstart to my friend, John, who says that now that he's retired, he's going to move to Santa Fe, New Mexico, and he's going to find himself two emotional support cabana boys. Now, is that not funny? I think that is absolutely hilarious. But you know what? I could see in his eyes too, because for 18 years, he's gotten up every day and he's known my role is that of minister. My role is to go into the church. My role is to find music for the musicians. My role is to write talks. My role is to visit people in the hospital, marry people, bury people. My role, my role, my role. And many of you know this because I know many of you have retired and some of you quite recently. Your role changes and then you begin to ask yourself, who am I? And that's when you get to start over at square one. Who am I? Whenever I'm learning one of these new programs, whenever I'm learning one of these new skill sets or these new computer programs, and I just realized I haven't completed a diving course. I started last weekend. I need to do that 2 weekends ago. Whenever I do that, I always feel overwhelmed. I do. Because unfortunately, even though we're supposed to start at step one, we want to be at step 40. Which, by the way, 40 in the Bible means enough. Over and done. Enough. Jesus was in the wilderness 40. Over long enough. It rained 40. We want to be at step 40. We don't get to do that. We don't get to skip steps. And I'll tell you what. Learning these steps in these software programs, whether it's building something in ClickFunnels or sending out email campaigns using Infusionsoft or whatever, there's joy in slaying the dragon one slice at a time when we look at it that way. Remember, the definition of being positive means focusing on what's present. Being negative means focusing on what's absent. We're always going to have more steps. Thank God. That gives us things to look at. And yet, starting over on step one, it's a great place to be. You know why? Because it means we're not off stepping on the wrong freaking path. That's why. It means we're no longer walking in this direction. We're now moving in this direction. And if we're going to do that, we got to start over on step one. So, give it some thought. Where are you and where can you start over on step one today? And I think you're going to find a lot of joy in asking yourself that question.
No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. Flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No.